Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to Red Sky Radio, the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Boy, what a week. I mean, there are no slow news weeks anymore. I mean, I'm not saying that I want them. It is what it is. We're living in a fast-paced world, maybe just screaming toward the end times, or we're in the end times. That wouldn't surprise me, but there have been a lot of times since the Lord came to earth that people have thought was the end times. It was even a thought in Scripture itself that they were in the end times. And I guess it depends on how you think of the end times. Christians in Germany, Europe in the late 1930s thought there was the end times. I get that. But some things do continue to get worse. That's not what this program is about. I promised some good news to launch. And let me just get right to that, because we got a lot to cover today. The Ninth Circuit out of San Francisco, largely deemed to be as left, far left as California is, in which it sits, has had some appointees under Bush, and then the first time around under Trump, that has given, it's not conservative, don't get me wrong, but there are times when a three-judge panel can vote the right way. You get maybe two conservatives and one leftist. And the Ninth Circuit unanimously agreed that California's plans to gun ration is illegal. Gun rationing, illegal. Can't do it in California. They couldn't buy more than one gun every 30 days. Or what if you needed to be protected? You had a gun, you bought it, it was stolen, and you need more protection. I mean, there's a million reasons why this was unconstitutional. But the Ninth Circuit struck it down. Actually, about every single gun legislation California does is appropriately snuffed out. And for that, I'm very glad. The next piece, I love this piece. It was, when I came upon this last week, it was only a proposal. In the meantime, it's been passed, I think, by the Florida House of Representatives. It isn't law just yet. But they are looking at a place to detain criminal illegal aliens. It's a little bit redundant because if you're an illegal alien, you're already a criminal because it is a crime to sneak into this country. So it's a little bit redundant. But we're talking about apparently ones that come here with a criminal record or begin committing crimes in addition to their illegal entry as what constitutes a criminal illegal alien. But this, it's an old airport that's surrounded, it's in the Everglades or near it, Lake Okeechobee, I think is where it's near. And it's an old airport which has some facilities there that have not been used, kind of abandoned. The state of Florida is looking at rehabbing that to detain criminal illegal aliens. And they've already given it a name, and it's called Alligator Alcatraz. I don't think anybody survived an escape from Alcatraz in California. The water, too much, too rough, too cold. There were no boats. Maybe there are some that escaped that were never heard of again. Whether that means they made it or not, or just drowned and never were found. I don't know. But that's what Alligator Alcatraz is sort of like. Because the whole place is surrounded by alligators and pythons. So you either get bitten to death or you get squeezed to death if you try to swim your way out of Alligator Alcatraz. I think it's... I love the name. I love that name as much as I love the phrase Operation Midnight Hammer. Gosh, what a great name. But we covered that last week. Anyway, that's good news. I think it's getting closer to being an active residence of illegal aliens. Good news coming out of my home state of Michigan, in Wayne, Michigan, Cross Point Community Church. I got a guy coming in there, a shooter, active shooter. And I don't know the exact sequence of events, but when he was outside and he was shooting, I think nobody was killed. Well, there was one person killed. We'll get to that in a minute. There are people who were wounded, but then they had a guy with an F-150. I think one of the deacons ran him over with the F-150. Oh, my gosh. Is that an assault weapon? No, it's a defense weapon when you're trying to defend the people that are trying to worship in your church. And then a security guard pulled out a gun and shot him and killed him. So that's the dead guy. People say, well, why is that really good news? It's good news because anytime somebody intends to kill others and we kill him instead, that's good news. I mean, why not be pleased with the death of one bad guy as opposed to the death of 15 good people? And skip the trial. I don't have a problem with that. It is a biblical premise, not only for self-defense, but to be able to use lethal force in the defense of other parties. So here's a teaching point from today. Where do you think that principle came from? That principle came from the Old Testament. It came when Moses, being raised as an Egyptian, though he is obviously a Hebrew, sees an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew slave, and Moses runs in and kills the Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian in defense of the Hebrew slave. There's no reference to that being a sin. There's no indication that there is anything inappropriate or any, what is it, opprobrium, something that you shouldn't be doing. Now, God didn't say anything about it. Moses just simply got scared the next day when some of the naysayers, other Hebrews, made reference to it. He got scared and then fled to Midian, where he did pick up a wife. But the point being is, he acted in defense of a third party to the point of killing the guilty third party in an effort to protect and preserve the innocent third party. So he did right. There's a biblical basis for the deacon running over this guy with his F-150. Now, this is what I find interesting. There doesn't seem to be, not that I have found, and this is increasingly the case with left-wing news, which pretty much means the news, they will not tell you the race of the shooter unless it's a white male, over and over and over again. So when they don't tell you, they may make a reference to a pronoun, a he or him. Well, ask Ketanji Brown Jackson. How do you know if it's a he or him? Well, I don't know. Ask a biologist. So I don't know how they would know that, right? Well, they all make those conclusions without any further evidence. But the point being is that they did what was right. They did what was necessary. My guess is there's a lot of Muslims in Detroit. I'll just hazard a guess that this guy was a whack job Muslim because they would not print his name. No picture, no name. So whenever I see that when you have these events, they always show the picture of the white guy. But they sometimes show the picture of the black guy, sometimes not. Increasingly, they don't have the guts to show the picture of the Islamic whack job. I'm going to guess that's who it is. And why? Because there are Islamic whack jobs all over the place, like the ones who, in Damascus, Syria, the other day, bombed a church, Islamo whack job, sorry for the redundancy, killed 22 Christians and injured 63. Now imagine what this story would look like if this happened somewhere where it was a white guy who bombed a church, killed 22 blacks or Muslims or what have you, and injured 63. Be all over the place. They buried this story. They buried it because they do not want either Muslims to look bad, or they're scared that they'll just get picked off themselves, because we got a lot of white weenies in this country who masquerade as journalists. Okay, I'm going to bring in a little different story here. A couple things I want to run through before I get to the more salient topics of the day. And it's a Donald Trump story, but it's what makes this guy really interesting. I have my bone to pick with him, as you know. I love his policies. I don't always love his behavior, of course. And we're going to touch on that a little bit today. He doesn't need more enemies. He doesn't need to make it easy for people to dislike him more than he already does. Just stick to the policies, be firm, be tough, and all of that stuff. But he did make a comment the other day, which he said, we need to get rid of some federal holidays. I couldn't possibly agree more. Why do the public servants, end up with all this paid time off when the people who they're supposed to be serving are working their hineys off? Why do we need Juneteenth? Why do we need all these? Why do we need President's Day? Why do they get all these days off? Get their butts back to work like everybody else has to. I'm trying to think of the last time I actually took Labor Day off. Well, that's been around a long time. I'm not saying maybe that you necessarily get rid of that one. Working on Labor Day kind of defeats the whole purpose. Although, because it's Labor Day, I kind of feel like, well, I ought to labor. It's a day I don't get any phone calls. It's a day I get some things done. And I have days where I've not, Labor Days where I haven't worked. But most of them, I end up doing some work. It's called being self-employed. And when you're self-employed, there's a little chance that you're going to be very far left. Let's just say that. Anyway, I support that idea. Let's dump some of these. Next piece is a little bit of an outlier. Also, but I thought this was so interesting. I'm just going to stick it in here, like I said, before we get to the next piece, which is will be our first particularly salient piece for this week. But it deals with the origin of global warming. I thought this was fascinating. There's an organization, I don't support it yet. I read pretty much all that they say. I'm very close to sending them some money. I'd like to keep getting what they put out. It's called the CO2 Coalition. And this story came out a few days ago, on June 23rd to be precise, because that was the anniversary, 37 years ago, in 1988, for the introduction of global warming into the political discourse. This was not talked about before 1988. And I want to just read from this very brief piece that they put together here. It said, 37 years ago on June 23rd, 1988, just like today, the very first Senate hearing on global warming, of course it's now climate change, better described as the climate change hustle, in my opinion. But anyway, first Senate hearing on it featured skewed temperatures, misinformation, and censorship of all contrary science. This is a Senate hearing. There's no contrary science allowed, misinformation, and skewed temperatures. The first hearing was convened by former Senator Timothy E. Wirth, along with a young senator from Tennessee named Al Gore. And it was no coincidence that the hearing was held on this particular date. Mr. Wirth writing here, these are his words, the senator that called it, some years later acknowledged the boondoggle. The complete falsehood of what they were doing. He said, quote, quoting the senator who called the meeting, the hearing, we called the Weather Bureau and found out what historically was the hottest day of the summer, said Senator Wirth. So we scheduled the hearing that day, and bingo, it was the hottest day on record in Washington, or very close to it. What we did is that we went into the hearing room the night before and we opened all the windows. I will admit, right? And why? So that the air conditioning would not work well inside the rooms. End quote. The whole thing was staged. It was contrived. Totally contrived. He said that hearing began a nearly 40-year run of unimpeded misinformation linking carbon dioxide to unusual and unprecedented warming, of which now some of the big, big advocates of climate change hustle politics have said, actually, it wasn't about CO2. It was actually, it's really about methane. So it's sort of like evolution, right? Well, this occurred 3 million years ago, and when that doesn't work out, that's 10 million years ago, and then they change it to 20 million years ago, and then 50 million years ago. They'll keep changing it and then demand allegiance and do obeisance to what was an irrefutable fact, supposedly, which, of course, the scientists, allegedly called scientists, retain the right to change their mind. But it's incontrovertible when they say it. He said, this consensus science replaced the scientific method. Censorship of contrary evidence was completed, and no debate was allowed because the science was settled. I find that interesting because Barack Hussein Obama, when he first talked about it, his first couple of President of the Union speeches, annual speech, President of the Union, he would say global warming. I know. It's settled. Settled science. It's so settled that about 2 years later, he changed it from global warming to climate change. I know. It's settled. Well, why the change? Well, because the Earth actually wasn't warming. There's change. Right? Winter, spring, summer, fall. Had all that going on. Anyway. All right, now to the pieces for today. I'm going to start with issues dealing with immigration and the riots, but then we're going to go a little bit to the bombing. Not much, because I don't have much to add, but I'm going to stop off at this election in New York City with the whack job Muslim who is going to be mayor because he won the Democrat primary. I want to start with just how bonkers and unbelievably bad an increasing number of cities are in this country. I'm going to start with Denver. Not it's the worst, but maybe it is. Denver had a system where it was an anti-theft auto license plate tracking system. Okay. They had something like, I don't know, 70 or 80 locations around the city that would pick up where there's an alleged stolen vehicle, the anti-theft auto license plate tracking. So these cameras would pick up the license plate of a vehicle that was reported as being stolen. And it had worked very successfully, from what I understand. It led to over... until the other day, I think something like 300 arrests. It worked well. Until Denver's commo-Nazi left-wing city council voted unanimously to close and shutter the anti-theft auto license plate tracking system. Why? Because ICE could use it and use the data to deport illegals. So in an effort to enhance the enforcement of the law through this system, they shut it down so that another agency could not enforce the law. This is how totally and utterly screwed up Denver is. The city sucks. But that's not all. We know in these riots, we all know instinctively, intuitively, that a lot of these protesters are paid. Well, the other night on TV, there was a fellow, he was a CEO called Adam Swart, was a CEO of a company called Crowds on Demand. That's right. You heard me. Crowds on Demand. He basically runs a rent-a-mob business, except he tries to distinguish it from what's going on in the anti-race protests. He said, those aren't my customers. We don't do stuff that's illegal. I rent crowds to protest, not to commit crimes against federal agents. And he went to some length to how to distinguish his fake and paid protesters from fake and paid agitators and thugs. So he went to great length to do that. But he acknowledged it. He said the difference between his crowd and groups hired by other companies is that the other crowd has paid protesters on standby. His aren't. He puts out ads and they come and respond to an ad for a particular event. He said these others, they are paid something to be on standby so that they could be mobilized immediately. He said these agitators attach themselves to every cause and use that cause as an excuse to loot, to be violent, to create disruption. So he said they don't care about the cause. They just want to loot, destroy property. But their actions should not be used to delegitimize peaceful paid demonstrators. You can't make this up. You really can't. All right, let's move along here, because we're still in the area of illegal immigration protests, anti-ICE. So we have 1,500 Iranian nationals were apprehended by Border Patrol during Biden's administration. During Biden's administration, they apprehended 1,500 Iranian nationals. Now, first of all, there's 2 points here. The first one is these are only the ones they caught because the border was lax. It was you got an open border, it's not a border. That's a contradiction in terms. If it's open, it's not a border. If it's a border, it's not open. So you've got 1,500 known Iranian nationals that have come in here. So how many cells do we have, sleeper cells? Or as Trump called them the other day, super sleeper cells. I think that's a meteorological term, a supercell. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You can say, well, it sounds like Biden was doing his job, or Mayorkas. Hold up there. Wait a minute. Out of the ones they actually did apprehend, the 1,500, Alejandro Mayorkas, traitor that he is, who deserves a punishment of a traitor, along with a whole bunch of other people in the Biden administration, let in half of them, just turned them loose, 750, more abouts. I think it was a couple, less than 750, but essentially half of them, just turned loose in the United States, coming to a city near you. I don't live in a big city, never want to live in a big city. God would have to leave a note on my kitchen table in the morning to say, you need to move to New York City before I'd ever do that. Having said that, I'm really hoping he doesn't test me, especially New York City. But it goes for Denver. It goes for L.A. I don't like cities. It's where the most crime is, the most rape, the most extortion, the most child trafficking. Not that the country's always genteel and safe, but it's a lot safer than downtown in any one of those cities. Next, the ICE raids have uncovered massive identity theft schemes run by, guess who? Oh, you are really good. You picked illegal aliens. That is the right answer. Massive identity theft. And I'm not going to go any further on that topic other than to give my 2 cents worth on something regarding the ordering of our own particular finances. I believe in diversification to some extent. I don't do well at the stock market. I don't know that I do really well. I think I do better at real estate than probably anything else. But, you know, I try to have a little cash and a tiny bit of maybe gold and a few things like that. As Solomon recommended, you know, divide your assets into six or seven things for who knows what disaster shall come upon the earth. Not if, but what disaster shall come upon the earth. So be diversified. So Solomon was, so if something hit the sheep, the goats survived, or if it hit the goats, the grapes survived, or something hit the grapes, the barley and rye survived. That's diversification. Not everything goes up or down at the same time. If we had a massive depression in this country, some things would go up in value. It's like what? Well, gold, silver. Those things would go up like crazy. There's no event where everything goes down or up at the same time. We just haven't had those. It's not the way the economy works. So in an effort to continue to reduce my risk of exposure to nefarious people, I have closed out two of my accounts that I've had, consolidating, but I'm only consolidating into institutions that have a physical presence. In other words, I'm done with online banks. But more importantly, only to places that will provide a two-factor authentication. Now, I am really, really big on this. So if you know how this works, fine. If you don't, two-factor authentication works like this. You go into your bank, you're going to pay some bills, online bill pay. A lot of people do it. I still pay a few by check, but I do online bill pay. Everybody does these days. But I don't do it willy-nilly without thoughts as to the security issues. So when you go into your bank account, you put in your password. I'm sorry, you put in your user ID, which is typically your email address. Then you put in your password. And then when you click the button, you don't go right to your page. Well, you would without two-factor authentication. But with two-factor authentication, then they text you somewhere between a 4 and an 8-digit number that you then enter onto your screen, which then gives you access to your account. So you wouldn't want to do this if you loan somebody your cell phone, but they couldn't get at your money. They just don't, hey, what's this thing? You don't give it to anybody, and then you delete it. And every time you go in, it's a new number. So it's not like they can go back and, oh, I got to see this 8-digit number. Let's try this one. After they've somehow ripped you off of your password. Because what did we have last week? Was it 16 billion passwords were compromised? Well, there's only 8 billion people on the earth. So we know that there are people that have a lot of passwords. I mean, if you got a different password for each account or your insurance company or what have you, it's not unusual for people to have 10, 12, 14 passwords. They might be all the same. Some of them will likely be the same. Some people, every one of them is different. I got to write them out. So that is just, I got no more online banks for me. And two-factor authentication. Look it up. Ask your bank if they have it. And if they don't, you're not as secure as another bank could make your money. Okay. That was actually dealing with identity theft by illegals, but this is still an illegal story. Karen Bass, LA is just as bad as New York City. She, without question, fights harder for illegals than she has ever fought for legal residents. It's like the Babylon Bee said about Gavin Newsom. He considers it his duty to stand up and protect all the illegals who voted for him. Way to go, Babylon Bee. You say it so well, so succinctly. We'll be right back. Robin Walter with The Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe Walsh. As you know, there are songs from over my life. There's just some songs that they're defined by the intro, and that's one of them. I mean, the Doobie Brothers, Proud Mary, but, you know, I mean, there's songs that they're just defined by the intro, and if you're already into the song, that's one of them. Okay, so a lot of the people sneaking in, the Iranians, the 1,500, just that they caught, 750 released by Biden. And the Islamists that are coming in from all sorts of places. I will tell you something. I see this in San Diego. Happens in Minnesota. Happens in Detroit. A Muslim buys property. They will not sell property to a non-Muslim. They just don't. They're there to expand, not to contract. Not to turn over, but to control. People don't have the guts to deal with that, but we're headed towards a civil war, which will be made up of different factions. It'll be an interesting war, but we're headed in that direction. I don't think there's any question about it. So I wanted to touch base on this issue with the newly elected Democratic candidate, if you will. He might as well be elected mayor, because if you win the Democratic primary in New York, you're mayor. So the winner in that primary is guy, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but who cares? Zohran, Z-O-H-R-A-N, Mamdani, M-A-M-D-A-N-I. This is a whack job Muslim born in Uganda. The only good thing out of this whole deal is that, I think it was Uganda. Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, the only good thing out of this is that by his own admission here, he's acknowledged where he was born and where he's from, which means he can't run for president or vice president. But they say he's a new face of the left, which is scary because it's even farther left than the left that we know. He's pro-tranny, he's pro-queer, he's pro-abortion. He hates Israel. He's a virulent Jew hater. He denies the existence of the Holocaust. And he's campaigning on an openly socialistic platform, or did, because he is. I mean, people say, well, he's a democratic socialist. And you know what? It doesn't matter. You can say old socialist, young socialist, short socialist, tall socialist, fat socialist, rich socialist, poor socialist, democratic socialist. All those words are merely adjectives. The noun is socialist. Doesn't matter what comes before the word socialist. He's a socialist. All free childcare, free bus passes, free everything. The guy is awful, and he won a commanding victory. Almost got a majority out of a 5-candidate race. And Cuomo got stuffed, although Cuomo committed political suicide during the whole COVID crapola. But he's also calling, this guy's calling for the end of the fascist Trump reign. He's called for banning all guns confiscated. No Second Amendment. Not anymore. Not under him. So here's, let me back up a minute. How many Of course, all of this is to protect democracy, right? And he's a Muslim. How many Muslim countries are there? There was 50% or more Muslims in the world. It's debatable, and I'm not going to get into the whether it's 47 or 49. I'm going to use 49 for right now, because there's some countries it's hard to know whether they hit that 50% threshold. So all these Muslims who are really crazy about protecting democracy, out of those 49 countries, how many of them have democracies? There's only two that are even nominally democratic. They really aren't, but they have sort of an election process. Only two, Indonesia and Turkey. So if you only have two that can barely, like in the democracy category, they'd score a D or a D minus, and the other 47 are flunks, that tells you how much Muslims really care for democracy. They don't. And there's a simple reason. It's called Sharia law. Sharia law is what they like, what they love. It demands no contrary opinions, ideas, or laws that would ever surface, much less prevail, to dislodge Sharia law as the law. You could not have democracy and Sharia law. Totally and completely incompatible. A true democracy, because a true democracy could throw it out. And Sharia law doesn't allow it to be thrown out, and Muslims won't allow it. So what do you think the Muslims in this country are after? Oh, they're biding their time. They can't pull it off right now. They all vote Democrat, except for some Muslims in Detroit that voted Republican, and Dearborn and Hamtramck. There's actually a pretty large Muslim contingency there. And they, not all Muslims are alike. I will grant that there's the radicals, but then there are some that don't come across as radical, but secretly are radical. If a country flipped, if a city flipped, they'd be right at the front, forefront of Sharia law, biding their time until they're part of the controlling elite or the majority, whatever the case may be. And I'm going to give a little bit of a shout out to some of the Muslim communities. They're the ones that probably as much or more so than Christians or Jews stand up for certain moral values. No queer sex, no sodomy, no child mutilation, no abortion. Don't teach our kids this crapola in school. Now that is a little more descriptive of the ones that I'm saying in Hamtramck and Dearborn, Michigan, around Wayne County. They actually reflect some Christian values better than nominal Christians. One entity which we'll get to a little bit later. But as a whole, how many of them really respect Christianity? Of course they don't. Or Judaism? No. Not. And if they're born again, they aren't Muslim anymore. And of course they want the free child care and all of this stuff. But this is what, and one of the things that this Mamdani has proposed, it's a big campaign. In addition to all the free stuff, he is going to have a plant where all the grocery stores in New York City are run by the government. Now, let me just throw that. This is such a simple concept that seemingly escaped the 43% of the people that voted for this whack job. Is this. If you are as anti-fascist as you say, Zoran, and you say that you hate Trump and it's because of his fascism, then tell me what isn't fascist about taking over all the grocery stores in New York City and running them by the government. That's the most fascistic thing you could come up with. It's dictatorial. And the left always is dictatorial. They are. It's just kind of what defines them in some respects. I mean, look at the leftists. Whether it's Castro, whether it's Hitler, people say, oh, well, he was a right. No, he wasn't. If you're in control and you're a dictator, you're on the left. Joe Stalin, Mussolini, go right on down the line. They all hate Christianity because Christianity, just like in the very first century AD, stood up as a contrary belief system to the status quo. There's no tolerance from a leftist because they're all about three things: control, control, and control. Those are the only three things they care about. So for him to say he's anti-fascism and a minute later talk about taking over all the grocery stores and running them as a government, and the government runs everything. What a hypocritical Nimrod. My goodness sakes. So why are we where we are? Well, this is what you get with uncontrolled immigration. Barack Obama, in his fundamental transformation of America, he's not done with it yet. He's just into it. And then it passed on to that brain-dead goon called Joe Biden to oversee what is essentially the surrender of U.S. independence and sovereignty through uncontrolled, illegal immigration, all of which Donald Trump is doing everything he possibly can to stop it and get the bad guys out. And you know what? If L.A. isn't going to go along with the ICE raids and Denver, screw those guys. Cut off all the aid. Go to the courts, and if some whack job judge says you got to pay it, just give the judge the middle finger of diplomacy. Sorry, judge. You don't have authority over areas that are not within your authority. You don't have, you can't do that which the law doesn't permit you to do just because you've got some black robe on breathing out these threatenings like Darth Vader. I'm just going to have to tell the judge to stick it. They don't have the authority to exceed their authority. It's going to come to. That's what it's, we're headed there. Well, I mean, and the intolerance at so many levels. I mean, all right, I'm no fan of ESPN. So the other day, they make an analyst for the women's NBA, which I don't watch. I don't care for basketball. I don't care. Women, men, midgets, whatever, trannies, Zulus, the really tall, the really short, the pygmies. No, I'm not interested in basketball. It's just something I played it in high school for a couple years. I didn't really like it. And most of all, the gymnasium just stunk. It really did. You know, I'm not such a prude or anything about this, but the place just stunk. And that's before you got to the locker room. Football, we didn't seem like stunk that much. I played football. I liked football. And maybe it was because the locker room in the fall in Michigan was not heated. So the stink couldn't travel. Anyway, I'm digressing, aren't I? Yes, I am. So this ESPN analyst apologizes for what she said during a broadcast. And there was a dispute on the court. And there was a dispute between the players and then a dispute with one of the refs. And she made the comment that said, that's what makes America great. That's what makes America great, is to be able to voice your opinion or your disagreement in a civil manner. She said, that's what makes America great. She got called out, forced to apologize. Because saying that's what makes America great was too close to these Nimrods who have no brains, no morals, no cojones. That's what makes America great is just dangerously close to make America great again. Two totally different concepts, but it's beyond the reach of left-wing sports announcers. The sports networks have gone left-wing. We only got one out of, 32 baseball teams, the Texas Rangers, that didn't celebrate a queer day and the fag flag at the stadium in Arlington, Texas. Only one. All the others are bowing down to the flag of sodomy. We don't want to know what they do when they bow down. It's awful. It isn't slowed down, folks. It's picking up. Trump can only do so much, and he's doing as much as he can. But, all right. You know, I didn't really want to get into, and I don't think I'm going to at any length, as to whether or not Iran's nuclear capability was completely obliterated, as Trump said. We have these things going back and forth, and he said, she said, and I mean, the Israelis, who are better at everything other than we are, at everything. Their own intelligence team, also in working with the Mossad, who you don't want to screw around with, have determined that there's undeniable significant damage that would set back Iran's capability by a couple of years, maybe more, which means basically the time necessary to rebuild, which was sort of equal to being completely obliterated. Trump shouldn't have used those words. I'll tell you right now, he should not. He uses and says things that gives the enemy a chance to poke at him, because he does exaggerate sometimes. He's got a big mouth. He says some things he should not say. I've said that before. He didn't have the intel back that quickly, hours after the strike, to say everything was totally obliterated. But it makes a great speech. And General Dan Kane said that their capability was significantly impacted. He actually wouldn't go so far as to say completely obliterated. But now he sticks himself out there, Trump does, and gives people an opportunity like CNN, the Communist News Network, which you can't, you know, trust for anything, to say that there's some indication from CENTCOM, the Central Command, and the Department of Defense Intelligence Agency, that maybe the damage will only set them back a couple of months. Well, the person, of course, who is relaying that story, by the name of Natasha Bertrand with CNN, is the same person who wrote that the ex-intelligence officers that declared Hunter Biden's laptop Russian disinformation, headed up by no less than the anti-American loser, imposter, most unpatriotic person in the last 10 years, or certainly on the list, John Brennan, former CIA director, who's guilty of treason as far as I'm concerned. The same one. This woman isn't a reporter. She's a fiction writer. That's what she's good at, fiction. But it doesn't matter to the left. If they can't find the truth, they will simply make it up again. They'll just make it up. It doesn't matter. You're not going to win against a liar, except in the end, when the lies are exposed. But then sometimes the damage is done. So, as I mentioned, Trump has got to just stop saying and dealing with some things. I mean, the other day he said, okay, go ahead, try impeaching me again. Make my day. And then he went ahead, of course, to mock a, quote, stupid AOC, which is accurate, and, quote, low IQ Jasmine Crockett, which also is accurate. But because it's true, doesn't mean he needs to say that. And then picking on a libertarian House member, Massey from Kentucky, who always votes Republican, but he doesn't always vote in the way Trump likes. And because Trump doesn't like the way he votes, sometimes Trump has set up a political action committee to primary him out. Everything doesn't have to be total knee-jerk, but sometimes I'm afraid it is. He doesn't need to go after Bruce Springsteen. He doesn't need to go after Massey. He doesn't need to go after Taylor Swift. He actually doesn't really need to go after stupid AOC and low IQ Crockett, as true as those things are. Those women are fundamentally retarded and without morals. There's any question about it. But he's got to. Here's my concern. How many people can he afford in the House or the Senate to tick off and push over the edge where he can't get anything through? He's so close to losing a majority. Why would you go out of the way? Like I said, like Paul said, you know, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. In other words, these are all the things I could do, but it wouldn't be wise to do it. Well, all these things are true, but it's not necessarily wise to be saying it. And then he pulls out the F-bomb on Benjamin Netanyahu because for breaking the ceasefire. And now Trump is demanding that the Israeli government drop the corruption charges against Netanyahu. Donald, you got to stay out of the internal politics of other countries. Don't pick up a dog by the ears. I just don't know why he does that. I mean, we know the left is evil. But threatening Israel or Netanyahu, understand, Israel has its own leftist problem. They got queers in the military. They got trannies in the military. There's a huge queer pride parade in Jerusalem each year, just like the old Israel. You got the righteous and you got the unrighteous, just like the United States. You got the righteous and the unrighteous. But keep in mind that some things are universal throughout this world. And consider this passage from Ecclesiastes 10:2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Isn't that interesting? The wise man's heart turns him towards the right, and a fool's heart turns him towards the left. This is a condemnation of the left. Now, all people on the right aren't saved. Probably, I don't know if anybody on the left is saved. It's hard to imagine how you could be saved and advocate for the things that they will fight for, which all these things that God calls an abomination. But in Matthew 25, Jesus makes a point of identifying the sheep and the goat nations. The goat nations, which are going on to judgment, he separates them and puts them on his left. The sheep nations, the ones that follow him, he puts on the right. You see, this theme goes throughout Scripture. And I mean, I think that there is something to do it. But you can't go after everybody like Trump is. I mean, the other day, he's demanding that the gal who broke the story, this Natasha Bertrand, he's demanding that she be fired. Donald, just stay out of that stuff, or demanding these charges against Trump be dropped. I want to conclude with something, though. This is not good news, but this is why we need to be really, truly in the saddle and sever ourselves from ungodly and perverse denominations. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is a loser denomination. I think that they're kind of in competition with the Episcopalians, fighting for pole position in the race to hell. But they have. There's a pastor here that came out and said, who openly rejects the Great Commission. Quote, "We are, who are in a kind of progressive church, tend to be real excited about the idea of, we're not real excited, I'm sorry, about running out and telling other people to change because of Jesus. That refutes one of the basic teachings in the Bible, often stated and repeated by Jesus himself, of course, that no one reaches the Father of heaven without going through Jesus. That it's a refutation of it." But she says, in response to that passage, I just lost my place here in her quote. She said, "There are people who are perfectly happy with no faith at all. And I don't think that we're doing them any favors if they don't believe in God." Well, it's interesting, because there's only one way to heaven. There's no salvation in anyone else. God has given no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. But of course, she starts ranting about colonialism and how we're trying to save uncivilized people. It's clear that Paul, in even reference to some of the Gentiles, refers to them as barbarians. That's how lost they were. But I drive through a city and I see these churches that are flying the fag flag, the queer flag, lauding and heralding sodomy from a church. Is it any wonder Scripture says judgment begins where? The house of God. And that's why God in one place judged Bethel before any place else, because Bethel meant the house of God, the place of God. And it had turned corrupt. When you corrupt the church, obviously I can't believe you'd have any saved people in there, but they're hypocrites, ones who think they are, or brain-dead Christians who can't seem to, wouldn't recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore, but claim to have confessed Jesus at one point in their life. Why would you hang around in those institutions? We are in a spiritual warfare that has not changed or abated because of Donald Trump. In fact, his strength, which I appreciate, it's only his behavior I take issue with, his policies, his strength, bombing the crap out of Iran, I was thrilled with Operation Midnight Hammer. But he can only do so much. But his coming out the way that he has for godly things has raised the ire of the devil, who knows that his time is short, which is why he is working furiously, and trust me, he is. We have more people on the left, particularly trannies, buying guns. We have the ICE agents being attacked. We have a division, the likes of which we have not had since the Civil War, and I will tell you, in many respects, it's worse. But your job, same as it was last week. Sit tall in the saddle. And remember, because you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. You don't be quiet. You don't turn around and walk away. Go get them. God bless you.